Old Testament reading comes from Genesis chapter 9. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you. As many as came out of the ark, it is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have made between me and you, and every living creature that is with you, for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud. It shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson is from Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to back up and start reading from verse 10. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with an inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wise, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that he might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as he touched were made well. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm sure you've started the conversation, and about 5 or 10 words in, you go, oh yeah, you need to know this thing to make any sense of the story that I really want to tell. And then the conversation jumps a train track. When I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles, screech, jump. Oops. There are a couple of things that Paul needs to talk about. Our modern Bible editors make it easy to see by adding that ellipsis, those three dots. But you can get the feeling in the original in that Paul starts, and then he says something different, and then he picks up in verse 14 again, the start of our assigned text. He repeats what he started with. When I think of all this, the all this is the easy part. It's what we've heard the last couple of weeks. First, God the Father, out of his own good pleasure, has given to us every spiritual blessing. And the us is not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. He's done this through the blood of Jesus Christ and through that down payment, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Second, this salvation is for you as an individual, but this salvation is not individualistic. God has done this to make one people. The Gentiles who were far off have been brought near. The Jews who lived under the burden of the law with all of its commandments and regulations likewise have been granted grace. Together, in his body on the cross, all hostility was finished. God declared peace through Christ to both Jew and Gentile. And now that Spirit is building us all together into a holy temple. The Spirit that dwells in me is the Spirit that dwells in you, and it's the same Spirit that dwells in all of God's people. We are all called and gathered. We are all enlightened and sanctified together, being made part of the dwelling where God lives. That dwelling, in its fulfillment, is the New Jerusalem, the church triumphant. But that dwelling now is the church militant and the church at rest. We who feebly struggle and they in glory shine, but not the final, not that final building, not yet. When I think of all of this, that good news is this. But what Paul hasn't broached is how it's being told. We've read or I hope we have, Acts and Paul's letter to Galatians. We know about the Damascus Road and his blinding and his healing and the 3 years in the wilderness. We know of his persecution of the church and of the Lord's command to Ananias that Saul is his chosen messenger. And he also, Saul, will learn suffering for the name. The Ephesians might not know all of this. They might blanch at Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus. They might question his apostleship for the benefit of the Gentiles. So, like Paul writes, assuming, by the way, that you know that God gave to Paul this special responsibility, we're going to fly over some of those other verses I printed in there to get down to what I think are the incredibly unknown or overlooked parts of God's plan that Paul tells us. God's purpose in all of this again, was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. And this is such a rich and terrifying revelation. Rich from the fact that you can't call the cross plan B. This was his eternal plan. When God made the world, he knew that he would be standing on Calvary. And he thought that his creation was so very good that he would accept that. For Paul, sitting in prison, he does not lose heart because that is an imitation of Christ in his life. It's a playing out of the one who dwells in him. It's a learning of the name. God's creation in all of its rich variety, in being brought low and in abounding, in hunger or in feast, in need or in abundance, in lament or in praise, in all of its rich variety, is part of Christ's experience. And this plan is rich because he has eternally included a place for you and me. All of the wisdom of God in all of its rich variety is displayed in and through his people, the church. We've not only been saved, but we've been brought near to the heart and purpose of God. His wisdom has been shared with us and is displayed in us. And that might be the terrifying. This life is not meaningless. Your struggles are not in vain. Your triumphs are not your own, not alone. This life that we live in whatever rich variety we find ourselves has been joined to God in Christ. Your walk of discipleship, how you and how we are being built together, is the preaching of God. We are his living words. But the truly terrifying thing is the audience. Who are we his words to? All the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. God is preaching to the holy ones and to the unholy ones. The start of Job gives us a picture of this. And that snake in the garden, and Jesus in the desert. The angels and the archangels, the cherubim and the seraphim, and all the hosts of heaven might not always get it, but Michael and his hosts watch and obey. But maybe more terrifying is that Satan, that craftiest of creatures, thought that God's plan was nuts. And we are the display to Satan that God knows what he's doing. The church is the display to all the unseen rulers and authorities that God's ways are both righteous and gracious. That God need not choose only one of those. We, because we have taken his righteousness by his grace, are that cosmic display. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father. An appropriate response to that staggering call. But we should note carefully what Paul asks for in his prayer. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. This call to be the display, to be the living word, is not something that we do by our own strength. And this call is not something that we do physically. It comes through being born again of water and the Spirit. It comes from the creation of a clean heart. The life of faith is a daily walk, a daily repentance, and a daily rising. The life of faith is a daily renewal of our innermost being. If we're concentrating on this world alone, we're not displaying the wisdom of God. This flesh will pass, but the Spirit will live. Paul prays that God would strengthen that Spirit that dwells in us for the fight. Then Christ will make his home in you, in your hearts, as you trust in him. Strengthened by the Spirit, built up together, we become fitting dwelling places for God himself, a temple for the Lord. When the Spirit has called us by the grace of the Word, Christ dwells in us and we learn to trust, turning away from Satan's lies, turning away from those things which hinder our faith, and turning towards Christ, and even turning towards the cross. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. If we're being renewed by that Spirit inwardly, learning to trust Christ, we discover the true strength. God loves us. And it's this love that is beyond the angels. Satan would ask, how could he love them? But the Father does. He loves us as sons and daughters because we are. Because Christ has adopted us fully, and he's adopted us from all eternity. And this is Paul's most fervent prayer. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and how long and how high and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. What Satan in all of his brilliance, never got all God's people do. You can't exhaust the love of God. If you go down to Sheol, he's there, close enough to lift you out. If you climb up to the heights of heaven, he's there, lest you smash your foot against a stone. Like that children's book of mama hair and baby hair competing over I love you this much. By the time you get to the moon and back, you're resting safely in the arms of God. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. I honestly don't know if Paul means here and now, seeing that Paul is the first to say, not that I have already attained this. I think not. But I think by the time that this flesh shall rest, will have been made complete. This life is always one of growing towards, of being built together into something. But then we shall be complete. When we put on that resurrection body, we will know the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And as with all theology, all plumbing of those mysteries of God, eventually they all end in the same way. Now, all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power, at work in us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.